Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man. Well, on the
earth. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-token lovers of liberty. It is Friday, March 25th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We made it to the weekend, ladies and gentlemen, and a beautiful weekend it is as we move into spring. And it is beautiful here in Scottsdale, Arizona, at the headquarters of CannabisRadio.com. It's also a beautiful weekend today for the cause of liberty, because we are just less than 6 hours away before our friend and my mentor, Chris Goldstein, ends his federal prohibition, 2 years weed-free, because he got caught, he was smoking a joint at the Liberty Bell on purpose to protest for our rights, to protest to end the adult prohibition of marijuana at the federal level. And, well, the federal park police didn't like it so much. They sent some cops out. They busted him. He got cited, paid like $3,000, I think it was, and had to be on federal probation for 2 years. Well, that ends tonight at midnight Eastern time, so we are less than 6 hours away. Won't you join me tonight? We will be celebrating with what we're calling the Goldstein Liberty Bowl. And that's a hashtag, Goldstein Liberty Bowl. And it's Goldstein, G-O-L-D-S-T-E-I-N, Liberty Bowl. And it's all about taking a shot of you smoking a joint in celebration of Chris getting off probation and just sticking it to the man, right? So take that shot, post it on Instagram, post on Facebook, post on Twitter, and tag it with that Goldstein Liberty Bowl so we can show our appreciation for someone who put his freedom where his convictions are. He stood up for us, got himself busted, stood up at the Liberty Bell. Think about the irony of that, that your liberty is lost for smoking a joint in a country founded by hemp farmers at the Liberty Bell. So we'll be doing the Goldstein Liberty Bowl tonight. And I'll be doing it live tonight as a guest on the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour on 420radio.org. So if you're into heavy metal and you want to celebrate live with us on the air, that's where I'll be at 9 p.m. Pacific time, midnight Eastern, on the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. But coming up on today's show, we've got a very interesting guest. Speaking of internet and hashtags and social media, we've got some social media experts joining us in our cannabis community chat. Russell Thompson is joining us. He's with the Doobie app, and that's at doobie.co. It's a social media app for the marijuana community, and we'll ask them all about that. Also coming up on the show today in the Radical Rant, I will tell you about my Arizona shopping dilemma. It's really tough to buy milk here in Arizona. We'll tell you all about that at the end of the show. Also on the show today, in drug war data mining, we find a new poll out from the Associated Press showing support for marijuana legalization at an all-time high. Pun intended, and it's some great news. We'll break it all down for you in the drug war data mines. That comes right after Behind the Headlines, where there's a new study out showing that marijuana use among teenagers might be blunting their reactions to social rejection. What kind of implications that might hold, we'll discuss that right after the Cannabis Radio News. And in the headlines today, we've got Denver Normal standing up for social use. We've got Ohio certifying its medical marijuana initiative. Pennsylvania's medical marijuana bill running into some roadblocks. Florida signing an extension to medical marijuana, kind of. And Illinois taking up marijuana decriminalization once again. That and hour two, with more stories and your calls coming up right now on The Russ Belville Show. Stick around, we're back in just 2 minutes.
This is The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Ganjapreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Ganjapreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Gondrepreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Gondrepreneur.com, helping Gondrepreneurs grow.
How high do you like your profit margin?
CannabisRadio.com.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We need to build a wall.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
From high atop Mount Soledad in San Diego, California, 100 feet above sea level. Good morning. It's Good News with cannabis nurse Heather.
This plant is amazing. Positive change is happening. We did it. No matter who you are, you can make a positive impact on the world.
I would rather be illegally alive than legally dead.
And that quote helped to give you strength.
Nurse Heather is only on CannabisRadio.com.
Good morning, Cannabis Nurse Heather.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Friday, March 25th, 2016. A citizen initiative ordinance to legalize private marijuana social clubs and special events was submitted today to the City of Denver. Denver Normal Executive Director Jordan Person, who is also serving as Executive Director of Responsible Use Denver, the effort's campaign committee, said, quote, "Submission of our proposed ordinance language for review and comment to the City Council and City Attorney is the first step. By law, city officials can't require changes in the ordinance, but they can comment, make suggestions for improvement, and ask questions, and so can citizens at the public hearing. The city has 10 days to respond. We'll consider their input, finalize the language, and then start gathering signatures to put it on the November ballot," end quote, she said. The ordinance would legalize private 21 and up marijuana social clubs and private 21 and up events where marijuana can be lawfully consumed. Clubs could not sell or distribute marijuana, and bars, nightclubs, and restaurants could not become private marijuana clubs or host special events. Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine notified Ohioans for Medical Marijuana on Friday that he has certified the summary of the group's proposed ballot initiative to establish a comprehensive medical marijuana program and submitted it to the Ohio Secretary of State. The Attorney General confirmed the group submitted at least 1,000 valid signatures of Ohio voters and determined their initiative summary is, quote, "a fair and truthful statement of the proposed law," end quote. The summary and full text of the initiative are available online at ohioansformmj.org/initiative. The Ohio Ballot Board will now have 10 days to review the measure and confirm that it complies with Ohio initiative laws. Initiative backers will then need to collect an additional 305,591 valid signatures of Ohio voters by early July in order to qualify for the November 2016 ballot. A week after the Pennsylvania House of Representatives took a long-awaited vote to legalize medical marijuana, key backers are worried that the law's implementation could be slowed or even derailed by last-minute changes to the measure. Senate Republicans say some of the changes by the House could be so problematic that they could unnecessarily delay getting medical marijuana into patients' hands. Senator Dalen Leach, a Democrat from Montgomery, the bill's co-sponsor, said trying to again revise it could spell disaster. For instance, Leach said the House bill would require that no marijuana dispensaries operate within 1,000 feet of a school in Philadelphia. This would make it difficult to open one in Center City, he said. Another issue is imprecise language about the regulation of marijuana growers, processors, and dispensers. The Senate bill referred to license, a word struck by the House in favor of registration. Even technical flaws could mean roadblocks to getting the system up and running properly for the patients who need it. Florida Governor Rick Scott on Friday signed a bill that will allow terminally ill patients to have access to marijuana as they try to ease suffering. The bill, which lawmakers approved this month, was one of 68 measures that Scott signed into law Friday. The bill expands a 2015 law known as the Right to Try Act to include medical marijuana. That law allows terminally ill patients to have access to experimental drugs that have not yet been approved for general use by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. The bill also seeks to address problems in carrying out a 2014 cannabis law that was primarily billed as a way to help children with severe forms of epilepsy. That law was supposed to make available forms of cannabis that do not get users high, but administrative issues and legal challenges have prevented patients from getting access to the substances. The 2014 law and newly signed bill are far narrower than the medical marijuana proposal that will go on the November ballot. Another attempt to decriminalize the possession of small amounts of marijuana statewide is again in front of Illinois lawmakers, but as before, they face strong opposition from law enforcement and anti-pot advocates. The omnibus bill in the Senate also sets a standard for what's considered too high to drive and automatically purges municipal citation records for possession annually unless local governments decide against it. Legislators have proposed the threshold to be 10 grams or less and the fines to be between $100 and $200. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Friday, March 25th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
The smoke is rising, and the next crop of podcasts devoted to cannabis providers and enthusiasts are ready to be harvested.
Welcome to the Cannabis Radio Network,
founded by respected rainmakers who have been producing award-winning podcasts for over a decade. Industry headlines, business updates, medical reports, marketing, and e-commerce education rolled up perfectly for your consumption. Let's grow together.
The Cannabis Radio Network. CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
It's time for cannabis facts about Alzheimer's from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A new Florida study in the journal Molecular and Cellular Neuroscience found that cannabis promotes the growth of healthy new brain tissue. It can slow the effects of Alzheimer's and may, in fact, be able to halt it entirely. A long-term study by Ohio State University's Professor Gary Wenk concludes that people who regularly use marijuana get Alzheimer's at a much lower rate than others. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
Seed to sale, clicks to conversions, and more. You're listening to the Cannabis Radio Network.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, I want to take a look at a study, and it's something we'll bring up with Dr. Mitch on Monday's show in our Cannabis Q&A as well. But it was fascinating to me. It's coming from HNGN.com is where it's reported. And the headline is, Marijuana Use Could Dull Brain Reaction to Rejection in Young Smokers. This is quite fascinating. The lead here is that the brains of young adults who smoke marijuana 2 to 4 times a week were less likely than the brains of non-tokers to react to social exclusion. Now, this is interesting. It's a study at Massachusetts General Hospital. They got 42 adults between the age of 18 and 25 from colleges in the Boston area. 20 of them were regular marijuana users between 2 to 4 times a week. The other 22 didn't use marijuana at all. And the way that they test this is they've got their brains all hooked up. You got the little sensors on them to be able to check their brain waves and the activity and so forth. And they have the participants play this game called Cyberball. And the idea of Cyberball is that it's like a little video game, and it's basically a video game of catch, you know, playing catch with this ball back and forth. And it's you and two other participants. At least you think there are two other participants. You think that there are two other people in two other rooms, you know, the other study participants that you're playing this game with, right? Where you're tossing the ball back and forth. Well, the other two participants aren't real at all. They're a computer simulation. And what's done here is the computer simulation eventually stops throwing the ball back to the human, right? The two computer players just keep passing it between each other. And then eventually they relent and finally pass it back to the human. And the time when the ball is not being passed, that's supposed to mimic social exclusion. And so they measure the brain waves of these participants. And what they found out, and they're checking three different areas. They're doing MR scans here. And they're checking three areas of the brain that are tied to social exclusion. You know, when people feel excluded. Those are called the anterior insula, the ventral anterior cingulate cortex, or VAC, and the orbitofrontal cortex, or the OFC. So we got the insula, the VAC, and the OFC, these three areas of the brain that are related to social exclusion. And what they found is in the non-marijuana users, the VAC and the insula lit up when they were excluded. For the marijuana users, only the VAC lit up. The insula didn't light up. And the OFC didn't light up for anybody, right? So there was like two areas of the brain lighting up. For the people that weren't tokers, there was only one area of the brain lighting up for the people who were tokers. So what does this mean? It's an interesting finding, but what does it mean? And it kind of leads to where we find the use of marijuana is most prevalent at the ages between 18 and 25. And you think about how that's the age in our society when you're leaving high school and a group that you've been with for a long time and formed bonds with, you're moving into the college age, or you're moving into the workplace, or you're moving into a marriage situation and starting a family. And the feelings of exclusion that you can feel when you're a new person in a college or a new person in a job, perhaps that's what attracts young people to marijuana, is this wanting to relieve those intense first-time feelings of being socially rejected as an adult. And maybe it also explains why marijuana use tends to decrease as we hit our 30s or 40s. For most people, statistically speaking, not me, obviously, but for most people, that tends to decrease because maybe as people age, they become more mature, more able to handle the ups and downs in life, and the occasional bit of social exclusion isn't as painful anymore. It'll be interesting to talk about this with Dr. Mitch. The researchers here said, quote, while we know that peer groups are one of the most important predictors of marijuana use in young adults, we know very little about the neural correlates of social rejection in those who use marijuana. The unexpected reduction in insula response may indicate that marijuana users are less conscious of social norms or have a reduced ability to reflect on negative social situations. But we are currently unable to determine whether these differences in neural processing are a cause or a result of marijuana use. End quote. And that's an important disclaimer. Whenever we're finding these things, we are finding correlations. We're not finding causation. We don't know that they were people whose both of those areas of the brains would have lit up anyway, and then they smoked pot, and smoking the pot caused the one area not to light up. Or are we finding out that people whose one part of the brain don't light up in the first place tend to be people that go on to smoke pot? You don't know if it's like a chicken and the egg dilemma. You don't know which came first there. But this is an interesting study. The Massachusetts General Hospital, this is available on hngn.com, and it's being published in the Biological Psychiatry, Cognitive Neuroscience and Neuroimaging Journal. And there's also other studies that tend to back this up. There was a previous study in Clinical Psychological Science that found that people who reported long-term frequent use of marijuana were also more likely to have problems later in life.
Hey, you in my class?
I am today.
We covered that study on a previous episode of the show. And of course, I mentioned how, that's a correlation, and you can't tell how much the prohibition of marijuana causes the lower outcomes in life for the regular smoker. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, great news from the latest Associated Press poll on the popularity of legalizing marijuana nationwide.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Every strain, every sale, every medical study. Keep it right here on the Cannabis Radio Network.
Are you playing an acoustic guitar but want to be louder without an amp? Try a resonator guitar. The fingerboard extension has National Resophonic and other resonators, square necks and round necks. Stop by the fingerboard extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Go wild hog in the woods.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
As it relates to my brother, there's one thing I know for sure. He kept us safe.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Educator, author, and advocate Dr. Mitch Earlywine is here to tackle the burning issues.
And I'm here to clear up the myths about cannabis and burn them away with science.
CannabisRadio.com presents a no-holds-barred platform that seeks to redefine and revolutionize the entire scope of the cannabis culture while opening the door for more to join the cannabis crusade.
Dr. Kevin Hill.
You can't ignore the fact that, like alcohol, most people who use don't have a problem. So I think that you need to think about policy in that way while educating people properly about marijuana. I think that's the way to go.
Burning Issues, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Data Mines, we take a look at a story coming from the Washington Post that explains how support for marijuana legalization has hit an all-time high. Written by in the Wonk blog by Christopher Ingraham, and I'd encourage all of you to follow him on Twitter, @_C_Ingraham. But his Wonk blog has been a marvelous source of information that debunks the reefer madness about marijuana. And it reports how a new survey released today by the Associated Press and the University of Chicago found that 61% of Americans nationwide say they support marijuana legalization. Now, the question asked is exactly the same question that they ask on the Gallup poll. Do you think the use of marijuana should be made legal or not? And in that previous Gallup poll, that was last October, that was a 58% support. So we have risen 3 more points in support nationwide as they continue to review what's happened in Colorado, what's happened in Washington, Oregon, and Alaska, and discovered that you legalize marijuana and the sky doesn't fall. Now, there's an interesting follow-up in this question on legalization. Of those 61% who said that they support marijuana legalization, 24% of them said that marijuana should be made available only with a medical prescription. Now, we won't get into prescription versus recommendation, but you know what they mean. They just mean only medical marijuana. Another 43% said there should be restrictions on purchase amounts, and about a third said there should be no restrictions, you know, complete legalization on purchase amounts. Well, 24% of 61, let's see, a quarter of 60 is 15, isn't it? So 61 minus 15, we'd be at 51, we'd be about 45% of the people overall supporting legalization, and another 15 on top of that for medical. And this is, of course, much more popular among Democrats, 70% support. Independents have a 65% support. But here's the number that blows me away. It's 47%. We're creeping up on half here of Republican voters are supporting legalization at this point. It's also a question of age. In the 18 to 29 demographic, your millennial demographic, 82% support legalization. People over 60, it's only 44%. This is great news, of course, because the United Nations General Assembly is meeting next month in New York around the 420 holiday to discuss. They're not doing it on that day on purpose, folks. They're meeting to discuss the new strategies in the global campaign on drugs. Their last general session in 1998 was the goal of a drug-free world. And it seems like they've come to their senses 18 years later and recognize, no, the goal should be a decriminalized world. There is a study that's come out in The Lancet, the British medical journal, that has also called upon decriminalization and regulation of all drug markets, not just the marijuana markets, because the evidence shows there's far less harm from regulation than from prohibition. So things are looking good as far as the polls go. And as we aggregate these polls, I've been collecting these polls going all the way back to 1969. It's interesting to see how the American people's viewpoint on marijuana legalization has evolved. Right now, in the 21st century, that would be since 2001, we've had 67 polls on marijuana legalization from organizations like Gallup, the Pew Center, CNN, General Social Survey, CBS News, ABC News, Washington Post, Survey USA, Newsweek, and so forth. I've been collecting a lot of them. And of those 67 polls, over 27 of them, I'm all flustered, excuse me, 27 of them are over 50% support. 27 of the polls over 57% support. And you can't find a poll in the past year that isn't majority support. From 2015 on, in 2015, we had the General Social Survey come out with a 52. Pew Center came out with a 53. Fox came out with a 51. Gallup came out with that 58%. Benenson Strategy Group came out with a 61. This isn't the first 61% we've had, this AP report. And then, of course, the new AP report with 61. We have to go back to a CBS News poll in May of 2014 to find less than 50% support for marijuana legalization. And that was a 48-47. So it's still a plurality support. We don't find a poll where people seriously disagree with marijuana legalization until we go all the way back to 2013. There was a December poll from the Associated Press that showed 36% support and 29% opposed. So there's a big question mark in the gap in those numbers that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Prior to that, the last time we could find a poll where more people disagreed with legalization than agreed with it goes back to a Fox News poll in February of 2013 with a 49% against legalization, 46% for legalization. The average of the polls going back to that 2013 poll comes up to 52%. We are clearly winning this battle for the hearts and minds of the American people in understanding that marijuana is safer than alcohol, that drug dealers don't check IDs, that taxing and regulating cannabis is a benefit to society, a benefit to the consumers, a benefit to us all. Fortunately, we will see this benefit being passed on to many more people after this 2016 election, with legalization happening in California, Arizona, Nevada, Massachusetts, and we hope Maine will get back on the ballot. Stay tuned. We're back with Russell Thompson from the Doobie app when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
CannabisRadio.com keeps you in the know Monday through Friday on air and on demand with Cannabis Radio News, presented with the definitive worldwide news source, the Associated Press. Stay informed with exclusive news on all things cannabis. Cannabis Radio News, live weeknights at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, during the Russ Belville Show, or download the daily podcast exclusively on CannabisRadio.com, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. When breaking news happens in the cannabis industry, Cannabis Radio News delivers the details first.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I also believe we need a fence. The problem is if El Chapo builds a tunnel under the fence, we have to be able to deal with that too.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
We have your smoking section right here. This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life, conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult cannabis prohibition in our cannabis community chat.
Welcome back, everybody, to the chat. It's 32 after the hour. We're joined by Russell Thomas from Doobie, D-U-B-Y. And Russell, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Good to
How
talk.
How you doing, Russ?
Nice to talk to another Russ. I was just going to say that.
That's right.
Where are we talking to you? Where are you located?
In Denver, Colorado.
Oh, how lucky for you. So waiting on another great day in Denver, sitting there in legalized Colorado. I'm here in Scottsdale, Arizona, wishing I was there. So, Russell, let's talk about this Doobie app, Doobie.co, if people listening online want to, you know, pull that up on the browser and kind of follow along. But give folks an idea what Doobie is.
Yes, it's really not even a website. I mean, it is, but it's an app. But before we go that far, somebody else who's right near you, I believe, is also connected, which is my CEO, Alec Rochford. Are you there, Alec? Did we pull him into this?
Oh, I don't have Alec on the line. Let's see if we can get him.
Oh, I thought we had. I'm sorry. Yeah, we were going to pull him in too, but yeah, see if you can. Do you have him?
Yes, I will do my best on that. Go ahead.
Okay, anyways. Yeah, I'm doing great out here. Other than the massive blizzard we just had that hit us.
Now, the Doobie app, if you could just tell people a little bit about, it's a social networking type of app, if I'm not mistaken.
It is. Yeah, it's an app. It's on. It's available on Apple and it's available on Android. It's a social network, but it's really more about spreading the message anonymously, being able to connect to each other and pass a doobie, which is your message. It's either a picture, a video, a text, or even a private message, right? So you're sending that and you're literally passing it to others near you without necessarily having to know who they are. But you can connect when you see other people's images on your landing page and videos. And it's a great way to find people and feel safe doing it while we're transitioning right now to a legalized world.
Now, this app sounds a little bit like a Facebook in a sense, where you're posting messages, you're sharing with friends and so forth, pictures and all of that. Is it kind of like a Snapchat for marijuana, something like that?
Yeah, people have called it, you know, a Snapchat. They've called it an Instagram. They've called it a Tinder. We kind of took a lot of aspects of a lot of popular apps when we were building it. Really, the idea was the algorithm behind it. And then how people interacted with it was something that we studied through Just getting test groups of people, people specifically within our market, and saying, what do you like, what do you not like? But behind the scenes, you know, the brand and the idea of passing something anonymously so that you feel safe was connected with immediately. And that's just where we took it from the beginning. And now we're growing well. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's going to be a huge benefit to people who are still in prohibition states, or they just don't want their family or their work coworkers to know what's going on their social level. You can use Doobie, your new smoke spot. You can pass your doobies that way. It's available on iPhones and on Androids. And if you go to duby.co, that's kind of their launch page, and you can get your downloads from there. So what is the user base looking like now? How many people are on the platform?
We've got a little over 50,000, and purposely we haven't grown that quickly because we've been fine-tuning it and making it perfect. And most recently, we advanced it a little bit, and we're about ready to kind of open it up for the world and show people what we have, because we can handle the growth. When you have a social network, it's quite a load on the back end systems. It's a lot of information to deal with at once.
You know, it's interesting to me, all of the different ancillary products that are evolving here in the newly legalized world, things like the Doobie app that aren't, they aren't the buying and selling and growing of marijuana, but they exist a lot because of that. What brought you into this space, into this world that made you this proponent of the Doobie app? What's your background on this?
It's actually my son. I mean, I've been a smoker all my life, but my son, I found out a few years back, had Fragile X syndrome. He's just a baby. And what that is it's a form of mental retardation. It's where your DNA kind of gets corrupted. So that sort of changed everything, because it was much like autism. And I started doing research and the effects of cannabis. And we were the first really to try it at such a young age, cannabis with Fragile X, and it's had amazing benefits for my son. I mean, he couldn't walk, he couldn't talk, he couldn't eat anything that even a grain of rice would make him throw up.
Wow.
And just days after cannabis, that stopped. It was amazing. And it tears me up to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I
want to get the message out that, this really is medicine. I mean, it's a lot of fun too. I smoke every day, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, it's very much medicine, and it's a wonderful thing.
That's very compelling, and I've heard I've interviewed many parents who found these miraculous results from using cannabis for their kids. But as someone who had come at this as a recreational consumer, someone for whom it was a bit of fun, was there any trepidation in trying it on your child? Was there any backlash from family or friends or anything?
Definitely, and family and friends, but we talked about it and we all discussed it, and we realized there's a little other choices, and the other stuff that they were putting in these kids, it's got side effects, the synthetics, as I call them. This was, hey, look, guys, we have enough research. We're here in Denver, Colorado. We see this. This is harmless. And everybody knew it, and they supported it, actually, in my family. I mean, initially it was a shock, but nobody said that's going to harm me. Said nobody dies from this. Are you kidding me? This is, let's try. And so they're all willing to try. And that was a nice thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm so glad that you were able to take advantage of that, and that you're in a state where that is possible. I tell the story so many times of these parents with epileptic kids or autistic kids that have to uproot and move all the way across country just to save their kid. And that to me sounds like part of what this Doobie app is about, is, spreading the message, spreading the word, letting people share their stories anonymously. And there's no doubt that this has been a huge catalyst, just in general, people even talking on Facebook or by email, has been a huge catalyst to this medical marijuana movement. So is there, within the Doobie app, different, I don't want to call it partitions, but categories, like for medical users or for people with kids or for different types of users?
No, it's actually much more simple than that. And it's people, because you're choosing to pass something that was already passed to you or not, you're basically self-regulating. So the network, what lands on your landing page is typically good content, what everybody in general kind of agrees with, right? So it's kind of nice to see that. And you don't really need those groups. You start to find them by making connections with people in the app, of course. But find it unnecessary with the way that we transmit information.
That's really interesting. It sounds more like, instead of a top-down hierarchical sort of system, more like an organic group that will automatically build based on your likes and who you're interacting with.
Yeah, and that's the idea, and that's where the anonymity comes in, because you can provide all you want. I mean, if you want to have a picture of your face and you want to have your name, certainly you can. But you can also choose just to have a picture of nothing, and you come in by default just being another user, right? And that's great, because you can connect with people without giving out a lot of information, and that makes people feel safe and comfortable right now.
Now, the app is available for download by going to duby.co. Make sure you get it's a .co. It's not a .com. It's .co. The Twitter handle is dubytweets, so you can follow them out there on Twitter if you want to know more. And, of course, the Dubie app's not the only one out there trying to be a social media, social network for cannabis consumers. Can you tell us how, especially if you've got a phone that's limited in how much you can download, why they should be downloading Dubie rather than one of the other competitors?
They should be downloading Dubie because it is safer, and it's at the same time a tighter community where we've got the ability to make connections and communicate with those people specifically, and then start to build groups this is your local community, by the way. And some people say it's great for dating too. It's just good for connecting with people around you and seeing how cannabis is being used now in legal markets and not, and around the world, and how it's changing, how the legalization movement is really carrying forward every day. I mean, I've watched it change dramatically just in the year that we've had it, from the kind of content that we've had, depending on what's going on within the world. So it's really reflective, and it's immediately reflective with trends. And I think that's unique. And that's the true difference of this app over just about any social network, frankly, is the way that it can do this without requiring much behind it. Facebook wants your firstborn child and what books you like. We never need that.
Well, I'll be downloading the Dubie app today and setting up my Radical Russ account there. So I encourage listeners out there, download dubie.co is the landing page. That'll get you to the links for either your iPhone or your Android. And we'll be passing Dubies, Radical Russ, from me to you and you to me, and let's make this thing happen. Do you have any sort of, analytics on the platform as far as geographical distribution? Like, are you tending to get more people from legal states and from prohibition states? Where are people's interests lying?
Yeah, interesting question. Yeah, because I love the data, right? And we're around the world. We actually do very well in Brazil, which is great. But you also see across America, it's actually not the typical locations that you see. It is the other states, and it is people curious about what's going on. And that's nice. It is just a freedom of information, after all, right? So you get an interesting spread of where it's popular. And it's not necessarily always the legal states. But that's okay, right? This is exactly what we need, for people to realize that this is a normal thing, whether for recreation or for medical use. Cannabis is very much becoming common. I tell people that come here from out of state, our culture changed overnight. It's the boardroom change. People talk about it now, right?
Yeah.
And it's the soccer moms that have vape pens, and everybody's vaping at a wedding now. It's not as much drinking. It's actually watch. And you see it normalized very, very quickly. And so the app is a reflection of that normalization of culture around cannabis and where it should have been this whole time. It should have never been illegal. It's almost crazy to think about it now that we've had this much time to normalize it. And that's at least standing where I am. But Dubie is really helping to spread that message and show other people that, this is not some crazy whacked out drug that, makes you, jump off a building. No, yeah. That was hype for too long. This is medicine, and this is a wonderful plan.
Russell Thomas with Dubie, before we go, are there any fees or memberships that are required here? Is this a free app, or what does it cost?
absolutely free. It will always be free to the consumer. Eventually, we'll monetize. We'll have businesses, those kind of things. Actually, businesses do very well in the app right now, and we don't charge the businesses either. So everybody's free to distribute content, and other people will vote whether they like that or not. That determines really what's seen.
All right, folks, check it out, doobie.co. I'll see you there online in a couple of hours. Thanks so much, Russell, for joining us, and good luck.
Thank you, Russ. Bye-bye.
All right, stay tuned, folks. We got a radical rant coming up.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Dr. Dabber, hurry. Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
Earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Christian convictions are under attack as never before.
Okay, maybe you're high, too.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
You know, during Dance with the Stars, I started feeling discomfort.
Yeah.
And not only that, I was doing these old man smells. And it was kind of embarrassing because, you know, all the Dancing with the Stars crew, cast and crew, you know, they were all young kids.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden, this old guy would come along and do one of those silent farts, you know, that you don't know you're doing it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you smell, and everybody go, what the hell smells? And, you know, and you knew it was me. And so I'd scurry off to the bathroom, you know. And that's when I knew that there was something wrong.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
And one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
Dang it! I'm out of milk. I discovered this last night. I was out of milk. God, I really wanted a bowl of cereal, and I was out of milk. So, you know. Easy enough problem to solve, right? Just get off my ass, go to the corner store, and buy some milk. But there's a complication. I'm not back home in Portland, where there are convenience stores full of milk within walking distance of most neighborhoods. You know me, I don't own a car, so I gotta walk to go get milk. I'm in this strange little town in Arizona, and not only is there no corner store within walking distance, but this place doesn't even sell milk. Well, they won't sell milk to you unless a doctor certifies that you're calcium deficient, like if you got osteoporosis or something. Weird, huh? Well, never fear, though. I am one of those lucky few people who happens to know a friend here in Arizona who knows a guy in this backwards Arizona town who has a cow. But I have to be careful because I've got some weird laws here in Arizona. If I get caught trying to buy some milk from some guy who got it from some guy who owns a cow, I could be in some serious trouble here. Not only could the cops arrest and jail me over that milk, they could even take my stuff, even if they don't arrest me for the milk. So I call my friend, But see, when I call them, I have to use code words because sometimes cops are listening in or recording conversations to try to catch people who are trying to buy and sell milk. So, you know, I don't want to get in trouble. So I got to come up with some code words. So I call them. I'm like, hey, man, it's me. Do you know if anybody's got any vanilla frosting? So my friend says, sure, come on over. And that's all I have to go on, folks, is come on over. I don't know what I'm going to get milk-wise. I don't know if it's raw milk. I don't know if it's fat-free milk, 1% milk, 2% milk. Could be whole milk. Could be half and half. Could be cream. Could be buttermilk. Hell, it might be chocolate milk. I don't know. But it really doesn't matter much because I need milk and don't have a whole lot of choices. So I borrow a friend's car and I drive to the bank and I get cash out of the ATM. And that's necessary because, you know, my friend can't give the guy who owns the cow a check or a debit card or anything. Cash only, man. So got to stop at the ATM. And so I make the drive across town and I spend about 45 minutes in rush hour traffic. You know, it's not like I could make the trip at a more convenient time because, well, you know, the guy who owns the cow goes to bed early. After all, he's got to be up at 4 a.m. to milk the cow. So I pick up my friend and he gives me the directions to find the guy with the cow. And I give him the 20s that I pulled out of the ATM. Yeah, folks, milk is really that expensive here. You have to pull out 20s from the ATM to get it. So my friend directs me around, takes me to this shady part of town, and we get to this guy's place, kind of a rundown place, knock on the door, and he answers, and he's, you know, wearing some dirty sweatpants and a ratty old t-shirt. His house is kind of a mess, and it got some weird smell. And my friend and this guy, they just start into some conversation, and I'm just kind of just sitting there on a bad couch, just like a bump on the log, waiting. I just want to buy some milk, for God's sake. And my friend says, dude, how's your band doing? And the guy says, oh, man, you got to hear this track that we just laid down for our demo. And the next thing you know, they're pushing some buttons on the stereo, and I'm listening to some really loud, really bad garage band noise. And while we're sitting there, the guy turns to me and says, hey, you want some? And he's holding out like this little paper Dixie cup. And it's like the first thing he said to me the whole time we're there, right? And the Dixie cup's got some milk in it, right? Okay, well, I'm kind of thirsty, and I guess it'd be nice to know what kind of milk I am buying. So I take a sip of the Dixie cup milk, and that's not great milk, but it's not bad milk. It's just milk. So thanks, I say, and I hand the paper cup over to my friend so he can have a sip. And so I'm sitting there, and after a few more excruciating minutes of this garage band noise and the guy, his three cats jumping all over my lap and invading my personal space, my friend and the guy, they finally retreat into some other room. And when they come back, we sit there for a few more minutes, sipping some more milk. And eventually my friend turns the conversation towards saying goodbye. We finally get out of there. And as we leave the guy's house, we get back into the car. My friend turns to me, says, here you go. And he hands me this canteen filled with milk. It's not like a milk carton or a milk bottle. It's not labeled in any way. And, you know, I smell it. It seems to be good. It seems to be the same milk that we were just sipping back at the house, but I don't know. It could be. I don't know where it came from. This cow, I don't know if it's been treated with hormones or GMOs or antibiotics or anything like that. I don't know that he's properly pasteurized this milk. Hell, it might not even really be cow's milk. It might be goat's milk for all I know. But anyway, it's milk, so I've got it, and there we go. And yeah, the canteen does seem a little light. Doesn't seem like it's really a full quart of milk that I paid for. And it's some of the most expensive milk I've ever purchased. But, you know, I needed milk, and so now I got milk. I drive my friend back home across town, and as he's getting out of the car, he says, yeah, dude, you know, it's been a long time since I've had any milk. You know, could you do me a favor and pour me a small cup of milk off the canteen, you know, so I could have some? And it's like, well, you know, the guy did me a favor by hooking me up with the guy who owns a cow. So, you know, sure. Yeah, I let him take a little bit more of the milk from my already short canteen. I drive back across town again, a little less traffic this time. And along the drive, as I am stopped at a stoplight, an Arizona State Trooper ended up behind me and freaked me out. I'm like, is he following me? Oh, my God. Is he tracking people that are going to the guy's house who's got the cow? I mean, I'm checking the rearview mirror, looking at myself. Do I have a milk mustache? Is there any milk on my face? Oh, my God. You know, and I'm really feeling nervous. And we take off from the stoplight, and eventually that trooper just goes around me, and he's got business elsewhere. That didn't stop me from nearly having a heart attack. So I'm finally relieved after he drives by. I make my way across town, and I park at the place I'm staying in Arizona. Once I get inside, one of the roommates there sees that I brought home some milk. I got a little container of milk. And so he says, hey, man, I'm going to go visit my friend who's got some milk tomorrow. But, you know, like, I'm completely out of milk right now. And, you know, could you do me a solid and, you know, just let me get just a little bit of milk from you tonight, like a little cup of milk? I mean, I swear I'll get you back tomorrow. Well, you know, getting milk here is kind of a pain in the ass for everyone. So I empathize. I pour some milk into a cup for my roommate and he drinks it down. Thanks, man. And heads off to bed. So finally, after 2 hours of driving around town, listening to garage band music and getting shorted on how much milk is in the canteen and what kind of milk it is, whether it's been pasteurized, how long it's been sitting there, I have no idea. But finally, after all that, I finally get to sit down and pour that milk on my cereal and get to enjoy a nice glass of milk. Wait a minute. Wait. Did I say milk? I meant marijuana. Yeah, that's the story that so many of us can tell day after day trying to get marijuana. And I really didn't appreciate how truly unnecessary and frustrating and terrifying this prohibition on marijuana is until I've been living for months, years now in Oregon, within walking distance of multiple shops where I can just walk in and buy marijuana like I'd buy a quart of milk. And then to have to come back and try to score weed on the black market, it just really highlights how absurd the whole situation is. And I'm hoping with this radical rant that I've posted on High Times about shopping for milk that maybe that switches some people's frames a little bit and they start to understand how absurd this is. And try to imagine what it would be like trying to buy your favorite product, whether it's milk or cigarettes or beer or gummy bears or whatever it might be, if it were prohibited. And I did have someone in the comment section mention that it was a stupid analogy because milk is legal and marijuana is illegal. Well, it's not completely far off. There are laws in some states against the buying and selling of raw milk. So it's not completely far off, but that's not the point. The point is that we have arbitrarily decided that marijuana is one of these goods that should be prohibited. In a society where we have access to alcohol and tobacco as completely unregulated drugs, there is no reasonable, logical foundation for preventing us from using the cannabis plant in any way we choose. Over 7,000 years of recorded human history using this. Over 4,700 years of documented medical uses. And zero overdose deaths. 61% of the American people have now agreed that marijuana ought to be legal. And we're going to be here every weekday on CannabisRadio.com until that's true. Stay tuned, folks. Hour 2 is coming up next. And then after Hour 2, at the top of the 5 o'clock hour Pacific time, we got Stoner Jesus joining us live. And don't forget, at 9 p.m. Pacific time, I'll be on 420radio.org with Herb Thrasher celebrating the Goldstein Liberty Bowl. Find out more at hashtag Goldstein Liberty Bowl. For everyone here at Cannabis Radio headquarters in Scottsdale, Arizona, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.